Before I begin, I'd like to thank the elders of the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ for standing behind us, for supporting us all these years. It's been 4 years, so time sure flies. And we are very thankful for their support and the support of Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. It's a very generous congregation. And what we love about it is that it's a very mission-minded congregation also. It is great to have a congregation that cares so much about the lost that they're always looking for opportunities to take the gospel where it's needed. So we're going to begin with a short presentation of the future work in San Juan, Argentina. And you can see there Argentina Missions, and it's in the plural at first because we could not find a domain name that had the singular Argentina Mission, just one. But we figured that the plural fits just fine because San Juan, Argentina is so big that it has room for not only one congregation, but for many congregations. The Lord, we pray that He will give the increase and that the congregation that we go there and establish, we hope that it become autonomous, and we hope that it will be able to reproduce itself in such a way that it'll be Argentina Missions and not just one mission. So that's our goal going there. Now I'd like to call your attention to a very special quote that I heard from Brother Avon Malone. He already passed on to his reward, but he was an instructor at Brown Trail School of Preaching. He was one of my favorite instructors. The other one, you know him personally, you know who he is, and it's Brother Hardiman Nichols. But Brother Avon Malone once said, "Every man has more right to hear the gospel once than any man has to hear it twice." And there's a couple of applications to this quote. One of them, we practiced it in the Fishers of Men course, that if someone is presented with the opportunity to hear the gospel and they don't want it, then move on to the next one. We'll pray that they'll have an opportunity later on in the future and make things right with God. But if they don't want to hear it then move on to the next one. And the second application to this quote is that sometimes there's work already being done in an area, and then we need to go to another area where people need the gospel and they've never heard it. So that's the two ways we apply this quote, and it's a very interesting quote because it focuses on evangelism, and we always need to focus on taking the soul-saving message of our Lord Jesus Christ to those who are lost in the world. Now, you might be wondering, or you might be wanting to ask us, why do we want to be missionaries? And I'm going to answer that question real quick. I'm going to give you 7 reasons. There's a great need. That's probably the main reason that drives us to be missionaries. But I'm going to give you 7 reasons, and I'm going to elaborate briefly on each one of them. 7 reasons why we want to be missionaries. The first one, because Jesus has commissioned us to go and preach His gospel. If you remember, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus mentioned that all authority was given to Him. And then, because of that authority, He said in verse 19 and following, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even until the end of the age." Being bilingual, and I'm always thankful to God for that, English opens a lot of opportunities, and Spanish too. Now, back then, it used to be no English, no work. Now it's no Spanish, no work in some places. But anyway, it opens a lot of opportunities, being bilingual. And one of the ways that we've taken advantage of that opportunity is in taking the gospel to white, black, Hispanics, Chinese, everyone. I've had the opportunity to share the gospel with a lot of people, even people that are Hispanic, but from various different backgrounds, from Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Chile, Argentina. I had the privilege to convert my wife, so I shared the gospel with her, and she's from Argentina. And we hope to go and make disciples of all the nations and focus in San Juan, Argentina. Focus on San Juan, Argentina, because as it was stated before, there is no Church of Christ there. So, second reason why we want to be missionaries, because we have a passion to save lost souls and are aware of their true value. Sometimes, if it is not your relative, other souls are not really worth that much. If you have a relative, then that relative is about to die and he has not obeyed the gospel, then you start realizing, wow, his soul is important. You know, we try everything we can to help him get converted before he dies. And we appreciate the value of a soul when we see someone who is about to be lost eternally. Perhaps a family member with that we've been struggling year after year trying to convert them, and they don't obey the gospel. And we appreciate the value of a soul. But how much more should we appreciate the fact that not only perhaps a family member is lost, but there are other people who are lost also and that are in need of the true soul-saving message of the gospel in a spirit sense. There's a lot of gospels being preached out there in the world, but there's only one true gospel, and it is our goal, our plan, to go and preach that gospel and make it available to the people in San Juan, Argentina. Number three, because the gospel has not reached the lost living in San Juan, Argentina. And we will get to San Juan, Argentina, and I'll give you a little bit of information concerning it later. But we see here in Mark 16:15, go and preach the gospel to all the world, to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. We don't want people to be condemned. I don't want my neighbors to be condemned. I don't want people in Argentina, in Europe, or the States to be condemned. I want them to have an opportunity to hear the gospel. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Number three, because we feel there are people crying out for help and craving for the truth. There's a lot of interesting stories that I would like to share with you, but I don't want to spend that much time in them. But if you remember, in Acts chapter 16, 16:9 through 10, Paul there had a vision. A man in Macedonia, or the Macedonian call as we know it. And there was a man crying out for help, and he told Paul in his dream or vision, come and help us. So Paul and the others went there and preached the gospel to them. And a lot of people got converted. The first one was Lydia and her household. The second one was the Philippian jailer, etc., etc. But there was a call. I have not seen a vision. And you should be happy for that. I have not seen a vision, but we know that a lot of people are in need over there. There's a lot of people who actually want to know the real, true gospel of Jesus Christ. People in Argentina, and I'm sure it's the case in other places of the world, they are disappointed in their religious leaders. They are disappointed of their religion or their current religion, because a lot of religions, it is sad to say this, but a lot of religious leaders see godliness as a way of gain. And people are getting smarter. They're starting to see that. So they're disappointed. They need a good role model. They need the truth being preached to them so they'll know that there's a difference between false doctrine and true doctrine. And we want to make that true doctrine and pure gospel available to them. Then we have, because the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9:37 and following. You know, there's a lot of missionaries, and there's not enough. You know, there's a lot of them, but there's really not enough missionaries to go and take the gospel to other parts of the world, and that's one of the reasons why we want to go. Also because the fields are already white for harvest. Remember, I just said that people are disappointed. You know, they need a message of hope, and we want to take that message of hope to them. And finally, because here we are, send us. The first 3 years of our marriage, my wife and I, we were always trying to get someone to go. You know, if we could get someone to go there, it'll be great. You know, people will hear the truth, the church will be established there. And we almost had success with one Colombian couple. But then they decided to go to Argentina, but to Buenos Aires, Argentina. Everybody wants to go to Buenos Aires. It has this European touch. It's a nice, beautiful province of Argentina. But, you know, they decided to go there for a good cause, obviously. The preacher that was there was about to retire. He was very old, and they went and helped out on that work. So it's acceptable. But we said, they almost went to San Juan. And then we started thinking, as time went by, maybe this is God's way of telling us, don't try to send someone, you go. And that's when we decided that, you know, it was time to start talking about it and start making preparation. And hopefully God will provide the means for us to go there and establish His church there. So those are the reasons why we want to be missionaries. Now let me give you some background information or general information on Argentina. We have Argentina here. Population, 40,913,584. That's an estimate as of July 2009. That's last year. And that's a little over 40 million people in general, in Argentina, overall. Language, Castilian. Don't worry, Castilian is Spanish. That's just another way they call it. It's a little bit of, a little bit top-notch Spanish. They're more fluid. They have more variety in their vocabulary. Someone goes here and speaks Spanish there. They understand because it's basic Spanish. But they tend to go a little bit more sophisticated in their words. But it's Spanish, in essence. Other languages, Italian, English, and German. So if you speak those languages, you won't feel so lonely over there. People, 86.4 are from European descent, mainly from Italy and Spain. 8% mestizo, 4 Arab and Asian, and 1.6 Amerindians, or American Indians, I should say. Literacy rate. For such a big country, the literacy rate is very high, which means most people are well-educated, 97.6%. And Argentina has been described as the most cultured country of Latin America because people go to school. The government cares about education, and they always take pride in helping children to have an education. That's very important, and that also helps in the spread of the gospel. Government, Democrat, climate, four seasons. We have religious background in Argentina. We have that 76.5% of Argentines are Roman Catholic. 11.3% are religiously indifferent. Some of them even go to church, but they really have no feelings. They're, lukewarm. They really don't care about religion. They just, for whatever reason, they go or they don't go. It's the same thing for them. They don't really care about religion. 9% are Protestant, with 7.9% in Pentecostal denominations. 1.2% are Jehovah's Witnesses, and 0.9% are Mormons. The Church of Christ, when it comes to San Juan, Argentina, it has never been established there. No missionary efforts have been made in San Juan, Argentina. And only in four provinces, there's been missionary efforts being done. One is Buenos Aires, east of Argentina. Then a province called Chubut, south of Argentina. The story is interesting there because south of Argentina, I think it's in here, in this place exactly, Comodoro Rivadavia, is the province of Chubut. In that place, there's a brother there, and there's a small congregation of about 25 people. The brother that started the church there was a Mormon, was a Jehovah's Witness, was a Pentecostal, then a Baptist, got tired of the Baptist, and went to the Pentecostal church. And as he was getting ready to present a lesson on the Holy Spirit, he came across an article written by a member of the church on the internet. And then he started reading, and he says, "This makes sense. Now, what I'm about to teach the youth here in the Pentecostal church about the Holy Spirit, I'm not really convinced, but I'm going to teach it because that's what we teach here." But he read the article and said, "This makes sense." And him and his friend and his mother started studying the Bible, the scriptures, and got in contact with the brother that wrote the article. And their brother sent them more studies. They studied more. And then he asked his friend to baptize him. Then he baptized his friend and his mother. And that's how the church got started in Comodoro Rivadavia. Interesting how the internet can work wonders. And how an honest and open heart can be receptive to the truth. You know, people must be willing to hear the truth also, and the truth can be known. Otherwise, it would have been pointless for Jesus to say, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." A lot of people say, how do we know who's right? No, we can know if we study or search the scriptures daily to see if what we are being taught is true or not. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. So we have that. Then we have Mendoza. Unfortunately, the church in Mendoza was plagued with liberalism. And right now, as of right now, according to the missionary in Cordoba, the church in Mendoza is not meeting there anymore. So you have 3 out of 4 who have remained faithful. In Buenos Aires, there's about 4 congregations there. Cordoba, there's 1. Chubut, there's 1. And Mendoza, it just faded. It's a sad reality, but a lot of churches face that because they have let liberalism go in them. And so we see that Argentina has 23 provinces. Only 3 of them have been evangelized, and not to a greater extent, but to a shorter extent. But still, you know, souls are souls, and they're valuable, and we need to make every effort to take the gospel to them. And one of those provinces that doesn't have the gospel is San Juan, Argentina, and that's where we plan to go with God's help and your help. Next, about San Juan. We have a population, and this is the area where we're going to be working on, population of 705,378. Wow, that's a lot of people. A lot of people to work. 1.75% of Argentina's population. And those people, not a single one of them knows the truth. Not a single one of them knows what the Church of Christ is. Not a single one of them really understands what the true gospel is. In fact, when we got married, the year later, my wife went and visited the family in Argentina, and she wanted to meet, you know, worship God on Sunday. Guess what? No church to be found. He would go out, she would go out, and she would ask, you know, do you know where the Church of Christ is? And some of the answers would be, sorry, ma'am, I don't know where that address is. Or the other answer would be, you mean the Mormon church over there? No. That's not the Church of Christ. And then she started asking, like running a survey of people, about 10 people every time she got to go out. So she probably, not interview, but survey around 60 people perhaps. And not a single one of them knew what the Church of Christ is. The question was simple. Do you know what the Church of Christ is? And they were like, no. And the most common answer, obviously, was, oh, you mean the Mormon church? No, it's not the Mormon church. And that's our plan. To go there and present the gospel to this 705,000 plus people. You know, they have a right to hear the gospel. Once again, the quote, every man has more right to hear the gospel one than any man has to hear it twice. And they never had the opportunity to hear it, and it is our desire to go there and present it to them. When it comes to poverty and prosperity, you know, every country has both sides of the story. There's poverty, there's prosperity. You can see here the buildings are pretty modern. You see the houses, they look like Florida houses. There's even a palm tree, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, it's very modern, but there's also the other side of the story. The sad one, I would say. People in poverty. Imagine sleeping or taking a nap on a hot summer afternoon in a house made out of sheet metal. Not cardboard, because cardboard at least would, I guess, deflect the heat or something, but sheet metal. And when it gets cold, because sometimes it snows in San Juan, Argentina, imagine sleeping in a house made out of sheet metal. It's like sleeping inside a refrigerator. It gets worse. And people like this, young little girl, they grow up in an environment that is so poor that sometimes they get the impression or the idea that they're not really worth anything. And we want to make sure that we take that message of hope and let them know that they are worth more than this whole world in the eyes of God. And that's our plan, to go there and take this message of hope to them. So we have here, lost souls equals great spiritual need. Let me make a brief comment here. This is a park, by the way. This is a regular Sunday afternoon. Going to the park. They have a mall. It's not so big. So people have this hobby of going to the park on Sundays. Every once in a while, you will see a religious leader with a megaphone preaching there. Imagine me standing there and preaching there. I'm going to have that opportunity. And I know people will come and listen because I'm going to have an accent over there. I don't have the Argentinian accent. I'm going to have one. So perhaps out of curiosity, oh, who's this guy? You know, he sounds different. They'll go there, and then they'll start listening. That may work, that may not work, but the opportunity is there. A lot of people, perhaps we take this and there's still more over there than over here, but there's a lot of people that have never heard the gospel, that have never had the opportunity to learn about Jesus Christ. So I want you to pause for a second and then let us ask ourselves this question. We see here that lost souls equals great spiritual need. So, how can we fill this spiritual need? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves, that I need to ask myself, that you need to ask yourself. Now, how can we help? How can you help fill this spiritual need? And this is where we come to our part. Our part consists of going to San Juan to evangelize the lost there and establish the church there. Some of the advantages, the Lord will be with us. He made a promise, and lo, I am with you always. I will be with you. You go there and then I'll catch up with you. No, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. The Lord will be with us. Second, Sandra is from San Juan, Argentina. She will be my GPS. I won't get lost there. So she'll be there. She knows the area. There will be no struggle concerning that. I'm going to have to learn my ins and outs in the city, but she knows the area. She can guide me. She has contacts there. We already have a list of about 25 people that we can start working on. Family that has been a little bit strange, a little bit distant, but, you know, we can rebuild those relationships, friends, etc. We have a list of about 25 people. If we get there and work on them, and those 25 people listen and obey the gospel, that's going to be a small group similar to the one that we had here in Palm Beach Lakes. And then we can build from there. But we already have people to start working with. And we have plenty of people with those in the park. But we have that she has contacts there, and we both speak the language. I never told you this, but we're trilingual. We're not just bilingual, English and Spanish. We're trilingual. The third language we speak is Spanglish. So we can use that to attract people, and maybe they'll get curious and come and hear the gospel. But yes, we speak the language. So as soon as we get there and get settled, we would actually start working there. We don't have to learn the language. Maybe an idiom here and there, but, you know, we can start working right away. And that's one of the things that we can do to solve that spiritual need, to fill that spiritual need. And then we have your part. Get involved in the work in San Juan, Argentina. Some of the ways you can do so is by praying for us and the future work in San Juan, Argentina. San Juan, Argentina, and other parts of the world also, they need your prayers. They need you to remember them in your prayers, because there's a lot of souls that are departing this world, and they never really had a chance to hear the gospel. Also encouraging us, it was Brother Victor, one of our deacons, that was saying at the EDP meeting that a word of encouragement, one single word of encouragement, it doesn't matter how trivial may seem to you, one small word of encouragement can make a difference. No, it can make a difference. We're not looking for taps in the back. We're just looking for a word of encouragement, because let's face it, we're going to get discouraged every once in a while. We all get discouraged. But when we have words of encouragement from the brethren, that's when we recharge our batteries. And then we're ready to go out there and keep on working for the Lord. Then visiting the work when we're down there. Now you have options, not just Paraguay in South America, but Argentina. And you get to eat a lot of steak in Argentina, so that's very good. I hear that Paraguay has a lot of steak also, so it'll be good for you to visit and you know, get involved in the work. Perhaps a vacation Bible school when we get established. Perhaps helping pass out tracts, door knocking, etc. You know, there's not that many restrictions in door knockings as there are over here in Florida. Over there, you can knock on people's door, and people are so friendly that they'll open a door to you and ask you to come in. And they want to hear, you know, what is it that you have to say? You know, so there's a great opportunity for you also. And also, assisting us financially. Because let's face it, we need financial help. This building doesn't run on peanuts, doesn't run with the pennies that someone cast on a pool. No, it runs with money. You know, you pay the bills with money, you keep it up with money, and to do mission work, you also need money. But, you know, we trust in the Lord that He will provide for every single one of our needs. know, it's a matter of us doing our part. It's a matter of you getting involved, and it's a matter of you sometimes willing to say, you know, I have this extra money, you know, why not give it to a missionary? Or why not give it to the church to help the mission work? You know, why not do something with that money? Sometimes we go out and have a lot of recreation time, and sometimes we over-recreate ourselves, and then we just left without money. And then, okay, I wish I had this money to do this, to do that. But why not use our money more wisely and invest it in the Lord's work? Trust me, the Lord will bless you richly for helping a good cause. So this is on your part. And as someone once said, or it is the actual old saying, we really covet your prayers. My family and I, and mostly myself, I have a lot of traveling to do in the coming months. So pray for me that everything may go well. It's the winter time. I pray for my safety, that I may not get sick or I may not get a skid on the road. Pray for me that everything may go well and that congregations may respond to this need. There's a great need, and we need to make sure we feel it. And then, if the Lord is willing and gives us the right increase, we'll go there, establish one church, and then that church will become autonomous. And then when it becomes autonomous, it'll be able to reproduce itself and plant other churches in the area to the praise and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us meditate briefly on the gospel, the message that we will be taking over there. The gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. It's a famous passage. It basically states that the gospel is the soul-saving message, and it's about Jesus Christ coming to die for you, for your sins, according to the scriptures. We have Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 through 6. 5 and 6 says, he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep went astray, and Jehovah has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We deserve to die. We deserve to be punished, but Jesus Christ took our place. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. He was also buried and resurrected on the third day, according to the scriptures. Acts chapter 2, verse 27. Peter was preaching that very thing on the day of Pentecost, and he alluded to Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2 is another passage that talks about a third day resurrection, you know, being raised on the third day, and it's applied with a messianic interpretation by some scholars. We also have Matthew 12, 39 and 40. Where Jesus himself said that just as Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so would the Son of Man spend 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And in chapter 16 and verse 21, Jesus himself says that he was going to suffer a lot of things and be killed and be raised on the third day. So that's the message of the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Death for your sins, according to the scriptures, burial and resurrection on the third day, according to the scriptures. It's a pure message. It's a very simple message, and this is the very same message that we plan to take to San Juan, Argentina. So how do you obey the gospel? Obeying the gospel is very simple. Man has made it complicated, but it's very simple. After you learn the gospel, after you hear it, you must believe it. Because Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe with all your heart this soul-saving message. You must repent of your sins, because God commands all men that they, everywhere, that they should repent. So God wants you to repent, because Jesus said, repent or perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5. The same concept is stated on those two verses. After you repent, you must confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Son of God. Because with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's not confession is made and you're already saved, or you call on the name of the Lord, or say a prayer. Brother Jones was elaborating on that on Super Sunday. That's not the way you do it. You confess Jesus Christ because with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And because if you don't confess him, he will not confess you before his Father either. So you must do that, and you must be baptized to wash away your sins. Paul was preached the gospel. He was told what to do by the Lord through Ananias. And then Ananias tells Paul, what's taking you so long? Why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's how you obey the gospel. And then after you obey it, you are added to the church. Acts 2:47. You are added to the church by Jesus Christ himself. But first, before that happens, you must obey the gospel. And it's very simple. You die to sin. That's the whole message of the gospel. You are buried together with Christ. And then you are raised to walk in newness of life. It's all a spiritual meaning. Spiritual meaning. It's not that water has any power, but obeying what God has commanded you, doesn't matter how silly it may seem, God has required it to be done that way, and we must do it in order for us to receive the forgiveness of our sins. And then be added to the church, and obviously remain faithful unto death. Because Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." So it's not baptism game over. It's baptism, and I'm going to start living a righteous life before God. That new life that I'm going to start living or have the privilege to start living. Everybody did the same thing. You read the book of Acts, the Jews, Samaritans, Simon the sorcerer, Saul of Tarsus, etc., etc. Everybody heard the gospel, believed it, repented of their sins, confessed Jesus Christ, and every single one of them was baptized. There were no objections. Well, thief on the cross didn't do it. There was no objections. People wanted to be saved. That's what they focus on. People wanted to obey the word of God. That's what they focus on. And that's what they did, as we see here in this chart. So if you are not a Christian and you have not obeyed the gospel, then we encourage you to do so. It's very simple. We have already stated that soul-saving message. And this is the same message, as I stated before, that we plan to take to the people in San Juan, Argentina. Perhaps you are already a Christian. Perhaps you have already obeyed, but you have not been living a righteous life before God. We encourage you to make things right with God as we together stand up and sing the song of invitation that our brother Stephen Bilich has prepared for us.